Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Have a great and mighty Jesus who is our cornerstone. And as I said earlier, he does not expect us to carry. We are to put those down at his feet because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. We welcome you to St. Charles River Church this morning. We do thank you all for being here. This is a special day. As I said, we're going to be honoring our mothers in just a moment. We have a great message from one of the moms in our church for you. So we just ask that you would be in prayer for that.
I'm just saying, give the Lord a hand. Come on. Woo. Hey, have a seat just for a second. Who gave you that bride anyway? When I was a kid, you know, they used to tell us dancing just a sin. They said, you cannot go mix bathing with girls. I said, I don't want to take a bath with them. I didn't want to take a bath with them. I just wanted to swim, swimming party. You know, no, you can't do that at camp. Huh. There's so many things you couldn't do. You remember those days? I can't. Can't do that. Can't dance. Even after I'm married 37 years, you know, can't dance with her. I'm just saying. Y'all know? You get the point here? I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I can dance with my girl. I can dance with my Jesus, my master. I can dance because he is I'm serious. This is a marriage thing. He is my groom. And he's coming back for his bride. I'm just saying. He's coming back for his bride. I think we'll do a little shaking. How about you? If you think shaking's rattling you, wait till the graves open up and those that are dead in Christ rise. And meet Jesus face to face. I mean, listen, it's going to be shaken. The word says the world is going to shake. Well, I'll be shaken first. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, we have a great day in store for you. Happy Mother's Day from the entire pastoral staff and our entire team in the office and all of our team, the children's ministry team and all of our youth ministry team. We want to welcome you today and wish you a happy Mother's Day. It's a precious day to honor those that we have been so blessed with. Some of us have lost our moms. They've gone to be with the Lord, and it's a very difficult day for some, and they don't even come. Some don't even come because they just find it such a difficult day. But you know what? We still believe that the Word says, since it says to honor those who are worthy of honor, we do that. Mothers, happy Mother's Day. And send my happy Mother's Day wish to Malawi, to Mom, okay? Tell her from the platform, we said happy Mother's Day, Mom, all the way to Malawi, okay? Give Chikandi's hand, Mom, a great hand today. Mom, we love you, all the way from St. Louis. Hey, we have a great pastoral staff, and I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about my staff. The staff that you have watched through the years, God raised up here at St. Charles River Church. I can remember when I was whispering to Pastor Mike, we're going to talk about some things in the weeks to come, but I can remember when I was a senior associate pastor and didn't want to be. And Mike has done such an amazing job. Pastor Mike has done an amazing job as a senior associate pastor. I'm telling you, this staff is an amazing staff. I could have only dreamed of the pastoral staff. I'm serious. I couldn't have envisioned it, but God sent you all in. And to our children's pastor, Pastor Jason and Ashley, you're in the back, and I know you're working, but thank God you're working. We praise God for our children's pastors and our pastor that's overseeing the youth ministry, Pastor Pam. Every one of these pastors God speaks into. We didn't bring them on staff so that God will speak through them. We brought them onto staff because God does speak through them. That's why they're here. And there's a purpose. For every time they take the platform, there's a purpose. And there is something that I have seen in this godly woman, Pastor Pam and Rick, that has just been amazing. They go back to the school with us. I tell her that she has been with us since the very first Sunday, and she has to agree with me because I say it. But she actually joined us on our first Sunday at the school. Is that right? Please tell me I'm right. I'm right. Okay. So they joined us at the first Sunday at the school. And can I just tell you, when Pastor Mike comes up here to take an offering, can I speak to those of you who didn't come along from the facility, or from the school, and those of you who didn't come along from the parks that we used to meet in, can I speak to you? There were people who sacrificed to get us here. And those of you who are older in this room, your generation sacrificed. Many of you sacrificed. You can remember your parents sacrificing because the kingdom of God's message was too important. It wasn't because of the building. It wasn't because of the pastor's pay. It wasn't because of the whatever. It was because the kingdom, the message that he gave us is too important to get out there that we cannot sacrifice to make sure it gets out there. And that's why we sacrificed to get us here. And I'm asking that you that have joined us at this facility to pray about it. If you've never joined us, the offering's done, so I got no dog in this race. I'm not taking a second offering. But I'm praying that God will awaken you to the level of sacrifice of what it takes to keep the vision going, to keep the passion going, to keep the mission of the message going, the message of the gospel through Jesus Christ here at St. Charles River Church. So join us if you've never joined us before in sacrificing. It takes us all. It takes us all. Come on, you can do better than that. It takes us all. Be the generation that sacrifices for our kids' generation so that when they're standing here on this platform, the next pastor of this church stands on this platform, the next generation, be the generation that sacrifices so that their journey can continue here at SCRC. And I believe that's how God works. Sow good seed. Our kids will reap a great harvest. I just believe that profoundly. So Pastor Pam is going to come and share our Mother's Day message this morning. I believe in this godly woman. I've seen her walk with God. I've heard her praying with women in our church. And Gina and I watched her, through the years, impact not just women, godly women and women that needed Christ. She was impacting entire families and still is. And I delight in her boys. I delight in Sean, our drummer. I delight in this guy. I love watching him. I've watched him since he was about that, well, I knew him back at First Assembly O'Fallon. But I delight in watching your children because they're our kids. For very private reasons, Sean is one of my biggest heroes. And I want you to know that I mean that. I genuinely mean that. I love watching your kids. So Pastor Pam, one of the greatest moms I've ever witnessed, come up here and give her a hand, guys, would you? Welcome her.
Thank you. Well, hi, good morning. Well, I'll say it again. I know it's already been said, but happy Mother's Day. And I am so grateful we have my mother-in-law, Naomi, here with us, Rick's mom. We'll also get to do lunch with both of our moms today. So we feel very blessed in that. If you have the image there. Today's message is titled, Who Loves a Good Mystery? And I kind of thought when I was thinking of the title, I thought, if one of the men see this title and they know that it's Mother's Day, they're going to probably think it's about women, thinking that women can sometimes, at least I think to men, be a mystery. And I thought about knowing that people know that I work with the youth, that they might think, oh, maybe she's going to talk about teenagers, because if you've ever raised a teenager, they can be a mystery. I started thinking about different things that we see out there in shows that mystery. And I don't know about anybody else, but sometimes in the late evening, I don't watch a lot of TV, but when I do start watching it, if I start flipping around in the later evening and hit Dateline, I will hit that. And if I make the mistake of watching like 3 or 4 minutes of it, I'm hooked. I have to, it's like the mystery, like I want to know now how it ends and what happens next, and it kind of draws you into that. So I was just thinking about with mystery, and recently, some of our ladies got to go this last fall down to Springfield. We went to the Design for Life Women's Conference down there, and at that conference, the theme this year, back in October, was called You Belong in the Mystery. it seemed like I just kept hearing that word, and I just recently had started studying again a series that I had heard from T.D. Jakes, and he was talking about the mystery in our purpose and the mystery in our obedience. And I was just curious. I thought, you know, I wonder how many times mystery actually shows up in the Scripture. So I looked it up in the NIV and the New King James Version, and it shows up 26 times in Scriptures, the word mystery does. So I looked up what mystery, the definition of what mystery was, and it says anything that is kept secret or remains unexplained or unknown arouses curiosity or speculation. And the Scripture I want to read today is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. So it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 6 through 10, and it says, "Who do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing? No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, it is written, what no eye has seen and what no ear has heard and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." When I started thinking about, along with that, with a mystery, even when I was looking at images for today's message, and if you can pull the message image back up for me, when I was looking at images for mystery, you know, things came up like Sherlock Holmes with a magnifying glass where you're going to, you know, look a little closer at things. But the other thing that kept popping up was question marks. Some of us ladies also got the opportunity, back a couple years ago actually, we went to a Joyce Meyer's conference and we got to hear Beth Moore speak. And she gave an illustration, and I wish I could go a lot more into depth of it, but she did it over two sessions and about an hour and a half, hour, 45 minutes worth of teaching. But she talked about the fact that today what most of us want, what we think we want, is we want that exclamation point. We want that where we just do a straight line and we make it all the way to the end and we land and we're like, ah, da-da. But what in reality, what most of us live with, most of us, each individual, is we're actually living through a question mark. And on that question mark is, when you look at the shape of that question mark, we're starting out and we're having to go around and we're having to take and we're having to trust God with each step we take, and we don't know what's around the bend, but we're keep having to, it's a mystery. It's not knowing. Each one of us are living that. And I kind of pictured throughout the Bible, and I wish I could get more into some of the scriptures about some of the questions that Jesus asked in the Word. And we know that when God or Jesus asked a question, they already knew the answer, right, to that question. That the question was being asked for our benefit. It made me think of, many of you know that our oldest son, Stephen, was born blind. Now, he has just a little bit of peripheral vision when he was younger in his right eye, but he had to be pretty close to you, within, you know, 4 or 5 feet, and he might be able to make out, like on Rick and I, he might be able to make out that I had light here and Rick had dark here. So it was funny to us is what Stephen would do is we would watch him. Now, what you have to understand for Steve is he assumed we saw what he saw and that we couldn't see what he couldn't see. So, like, for instance, we'd say, now, you know, there'd be like certain toys or something of Sean's that were like, you can't, those are not yours, you cannot play with them. So we'd know by Steve's body language, we'd watch him, and all of a sudden, we'd see him in the hallway. And we're watching, now we're standing there, we can see him clear as day, we're watching him. And I would lean to see what he had to make sure it was something he wasn't supposed to have. I could tell by the body language it probably was, and I'd be, so we'd step back and be like, hey, Steve. What are you doing? Nothing? I was like, oh, okay, so you're not doing anything? You're not bothering anything of Sean's, are you? And we'd start watching him back up. No? And we'd be in the living room cracking up laughing as we kept calling him out on it, going, okay, so you're being a good boy? Yeah, I'm being a good boy. And he'd slowly back up and go back in there. And I thought about, you know, in Genesis, if you actually, I'd love to go a little bit more into that, but I won't take the time today. Genesis, the first couple of questions in Genesis is this one was Satan challenging Eve, did God really say that? And it was talking about eating of the tree. But and then the first question that God asked back was, he asked Adam, where are you? And I could just see that because I just pictured God up there when he's asking these questions throughout the Bible. When he's asking us questions, I just pictured him doing us like we are Stephen. He's sitting up there going, God, love them. They think they're doing this in secret, but I'm watching them. And I'm watching them go, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. That still small voice, we hear it going, Pam, should you be in that conversation? No. And we think we're doing things, whether we're having opportunities to do things. And, you know, and we know that it's what we do when no one else is watching. It's what we do, what we say, when there's nobody else a part of that. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways are my ways, declares the Lord. Talking about, again, just for, with the question mark, if you can put the image back up there, with the question mark, another one with, since Mother's Day, I got to give mom stories, right? Sorry, Sean. Stephen and Sean, again, you know, they went through their teenage years. Stephen was a little bit taller than Sean and a little bit longer legs, and they got kind of trash-talking each other one time of who could run faster. So it was like, okay, so we went out to this open field, and we were trying to figure out how we would do this to let him run and safely let Stephen run. And so we lined them both up, and Sean stuck with Steve, and I went down the far other end of the field. And what we did was is what we would do for Steve if we wanted to have him run, we played softball. We did a lot of things with Steve over the years. But so what we would do is, so we lined, Sean helped Stephen line up at one end. I stood at the other end, and I had to yell for Steve. So I'm standing down there as they're running. So Sean takes off. He's running as straight as possible. I'm standing there going, Steve, Steve, come on, Steve, 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 and just yelling for him to keep coming. And he's having to listen to my voice. So what poor Steve's doing the whole time is he's adjusting. Because he's listening to for my voice, and he's just adjusting, going, where Sean got the opportunity to run straight, Stephen was constantly having to adjust to my voice to keep running. Sean did end up beating him by just a little bit, but I believe Sean, you know, gave Steve, told him afterwards, he was like, he goes, I'll tell you the truth. He said, you know, if you could have seen and ran straight, you know, he said, you would have beat me, but he said, you were all over the place from... And it made me think about that again, just when we're living in that question mark, and we're making our way around. We're constantly having to listen for God's voice in that. We're constantly having to look for God's direction in that, to take those next steps and to keep moving forward. And it really was talking about, Pastor Barry, I know, has been talking about favor, but what really God started putting on my heart was just that obedience. And what we find out so much is, at least everything I've read in scriptures, is that before blessings and favor come, first there's obedience. So we have to have that obedience in whatever it is that God's given you to do. One of the first things I thought of was early on in our marriage for Rick and I was tithing, was giving, you know, tithes and offerings. You know, when we were first married back in the mid-80s, we didn't make a lot of money, but we gave, you know, we felt pretty good about just dropping a little bit of change in the offering, you know, on Sundays. We did that pretty consistent. And then all of a sudden, you know, our pastor spoke on tithing and explained totally what tithing was and about giving, you know, 10% of your income, and that goes back to the church. And I remember, you know, who remembers after Sunday night services having afterglows at their church? So we would have Sunday night afterglows after church. And I remembered us sitting there talking to our pastor, and the pastor said, you know, I think it was Rick that said, you know, because I took accounting a couple years in school, understood the numbers pretty well, and I had figured out after church that day what a tithe would look like to us, and it was like, that's like a car payment, you know? And I was like, and so Rick and I got in conversation with our pastor that evening, and I was like, you know, Rick had said, what if we can't afford to? And our pastor handled it very well at the time and just talked through it. But we were challenged at that time, that was early on in our marriage, about to start to give. And so what we started to do was, to do the full tithe to me sounded crazy. So we started increasing what we were giving. I understood our numbers and I kept playing with them. And I know I've talked to several of you that have experienced the same thing. As we kept increasing our giving, nothing changed about our lifestyle. Nothing changed about what we were able to do. Nothing changed about what we were able to afford to do. And I was like, well, that doesn't make sense. So we increased it again, and we slowly increased till working up towards to that full tithe, and I just didn't understand, and it's a mystery to me. I was like, God, I don't understand it. I understand the numbers. We both worked in jobs where we made a set amount of pay per week. It wasn't that we were having, you know, just random money come in. All I know is it was a mystery. It did not make sense on, you know, pen and paper. But through our obedience, we watched the mystery of God. And then as we got into the mode of actually tithing, then we did watch where we had those bit unexpected expenses hit. We watched unexpected money come in from places that we were like, who saw that coming? It was a mystery to us on how it would happen, but it was first in our obedience before we saw the blessing and the favor from that. Just this last week, or back a couple weeks ago, I guess now, it was on a Wednesday. Our schedule was getting fuller and fuller here. I had so many things to do, and I was like, oh my goodness. I didn't see any way of getting it done. If anybody else, I love a to-do list, so I moved a lot of things over to the next day. Already looked like a pretty full day, and then after we had youth that night, so I wanted to take some time in preparing for youth, and so I had no more time to work on all these other things, and between leaving work that day and doing youth that night, continued to get texts and emails of things that needed to be done the next day, and so literally after we got home from youth that night, I spent the rest of my evening adding to my to-do list, going through all my texts and emails of everything that needed to be done. I really didn't see any way of getting it all done the next day, but I thought I'll just give it, you know, my best effort that next day. So I got up the next day, and I don't know about you, I think I've shared this before, but when I first wake up in the morning, I tend to when I first lay awake there, just kind of moving around, getting ready, I'll just do a little grateful thing of thanking God for the day, thanking Him for going before me. If I know a couple of things I have going on that day, I'll be, you know, in that particular day, I was like, thank you, God, that you're going to go before me, that you're going to help me prioritize my day that day, that you're going to help me get the things done that needs to be done today. So I got up and started plugging away of everything I needed to get done that day. And all of a sudden, I was looking at the time, and I'm like, okay, I can get one more thing in before I head out to church and then continue on that list of items I needed to do. And all of a sudden, I had that still small voice go, you haven't spent any time with me today. You haven't gotten in the Word. You haven't spent any time in prayer. And I was like, oh, well, I don't have time, really, today. If you saw my list, you understand that I've got a lot to do today. And I got a lot of people that I don't want to let down today, that, you know, I've got different things that, and it still just kept nagging at me that it was like, that, I just heard it so clear that you're not spending these few minutes with me this morning for my benefit. You're doing it for your benefit. It's going to make a difference in your day. You're not going to make a difference in my day. It's going to make a difference in your day. And I looked up, and because some of you guys have heard that, I know I had over the years, and I looked it up back a few years ago just because I would hear people talk about that still small voice. And it's in 1 Kings, and it talks about where Elijah was waiting for God, and it says a strong wind came through, but God wasn't in that. And then it talks about an earthquake came through, but God wasn't in that. And then it says there was a fire that came, but God wasn't in that. But it said after the fire, there was a still small voice. And Elijah heard that, and that's when he knew he was in the presence of God. So when we hear that still small voice, it's to help us. It's to give us that gentle correction. It's to help us in our day. So I took that morning, probably not more than 15 minutes, but I did take a little bit of time to get in God's Word, just have that little bit of quiet time. I did feel immediately refreshed after that, but still knew I had a full day. So as soon as I was done, jumped back in and headed off to work that morning. When I got in, first thing, we were having a computer, our phone and alarm issues, which is going to be calling Charter, calling alarm companies and all that. Well, we got in and been dealing with it for a couple of days. It had resolved itself. Was having computer problems, communicating with copier, got into the office. It had resolved itself. Started, there was something I was going to have to run to St. Charles with. Some of you know Seth has been in the process of buying his first house, and we were going to have to run to St. Charles everybody told us you got to go in person to St. Charles, pay the check, fill this form out, it's the quickest way. And I thought, I wonder if I could call them and just do it over the phone instead of having to run there, Seth and I both. And called them. Everything was able within 20, 25 minutes on the phone. Within the first 30 minutes of my day, I had alleviated almost 3 hours worth of work. But what I realized that was, and it's sometimes, you know, when one little thing happens, you think, oh, thank you, God. And then another little thing happens, you go, oh, thank you, God. But by that third time, I was almost in tears because I totally realized what God had done, that in my obedience that morning, in that taking that time, just taking that time to settle myself, just to spend those few minutes with God in that morning before I started my day. And there's going to be that obedience is going to look different. I don't want to make that a formula to say, this is what you got to do. You got to spend so many minutes in prayer. Not that it's not important. It is so important that we be in our word. I won't take the time to finish reading it this morning, but 1 Corinthians 2 through chapter 2, 11 through 14, which would have followed those first verses I had read, was basically talking about, as Christians, you know, we have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. When we have that Spirit in us, this word is alive. And the only way that it can speak to you is if you're in the Word and you're reading the Word. I had the opportunity just a couple weeks ago, twice in the same week, to talk to two different ladies. One lady was dealing with fear and anxiety. Another lady was 60, but she was a brand new Christian. And she was said, she goes, well, I haven't really got into reading because it's a little confusing to me. And see, the mysteries in the Word is not to confuse us. The mysteries in the Word is as far, you and I, it's far so that we can use the Spirit. And the Spirit, as we read that, can speak to us and give us clarity on that. So please, that would be my encouragement today, that if you're living, you think about, you know, I hear people say that all the time as far as with the Word, and it's like, it's a little bit confusing to me. Get a good study Bible, but I encourage you so much to be in the Word. And I want to close with this. I'd like to have all the ladies that are in the room that are 18 and older to please stand up. All the ladies in the room that are 18 or older, to please stand up. No, that's awesome. If I could have Gina Ivey join me up here. I had asked Gina, many of you know, she's Pastor Barry's wife. She's also the leader of our ladies' ministries here at the church. And I know so many of you ladies, there's things that I know enough about a lot of you that there's stuff that you're going through. God knows that. He sees that. He loves you. And I had read this week, and I thought it might be appropriate for some today. It was Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all those who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I know so many of you are the backbones of your family, and I just want to encourage you. The other thing I really want to encourage you, and part of the reason I wanted to have Gina come up, is it's so important that we have each other, us ladies. We have girlfriends that are Christians. And so I'd like for, if you're not by a lady right now, get close enough to at least one other lady to where I'd like for you guys to join hands. So I'd like for everybody to at least find at least one other lady that they can join hands with. Yeah. And I'm so thankful. I'll just say for Gina, we talked about, Pastor Barry mentioned earlier about with our kids, and we were so blessed that when we joined this church, our older two kids, her two daughters, our older two boys, were in the same grades in school. So we really have got to do life together, friendship together, and Gina has just been a huge blessing in my life. So so I'd ask Gina just to pray over us today. And
let's pray. So.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for each one of these ladies that are standing here and the families that they represent behind them. Just pray, Lord, that they not only know that you love them, but you are loving them each and every day. Help them to be brave and courageous and choose you every day and choose your way every day, Lord. Be with them. Let them know of your love. Lord, just give them that bravery and help them be courageous. And most of all, to be kind and compassionate and to share the love that you've given them to those around them. Because that's a special gift that you've given women, that gift of nurturing and kindness and love. And may they display that gift and all the strength that you've given them. I'm going to pray this scripture over all you ladies today. It's Zephaniah 3:17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. I just love that. Isn't that a great picture that God sings over us with joyful songs? God bless you all. We love you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I think we need to have Mother's Day more often. I don't know about you. Pam, give Pam from your heart. Oh, my Lord. Praise God. I'm sitting there just going, God, that's why we have the other voices. We teach something here. We're a church that's believed for years in the second voice. In other words, you parents are in charge of your family. And we want to be the second voice to your kids that can say, hey, mom and dad are right on. It's tough to hear sometimes, but they're right on and they love you. Listen to mom and dad because they have your best interest. That second voice that's always there. I can remember as I was being raised, there were those second voices in my life when I didn't like, where's my dad? Where'd my dad go? I know he's over here. When I didn't like dad wouldn't let me drive his brand new Cadillac. And then he did. There was those second voices that were always saying, your dad's the sweetest man I've ever met. You know you're blessed to have your dad as a father. I heard that voice all of my life. Those second voices were very important, and I believe that this second voice of other pastors coming onto this platform, Pastor Carl is going to be up here this month. Those second voices, Pastor Mike has many times been up here. Those second voices, you hear Pastor Mike Bowie every Sunday morning when he's standing here leading you. He's not just leading worship here. He is hearing from the Spirit of the living God, and he is speaking into you that higher, coming into that high presence of the Lord, and takes us to a place of the Holy of Holies. And I'm serious, at some point I'm going to start seeing shoes being taken off because we're going to recognize we're on holy ground. That's the voice that I believe these pastors and leaders and their spouses represent here at St. Charles River Church. And certainly, where is Pastor Jason? Is he back here to where, there he is, in the dark. Come out of the into the light here. Pastor Jason, you have organized our kids, you and Ashley. We love you guys. We adore you guys. Thank you for the work you do in children's ministries. You are never forgotten just because you're in the children's ministry, unseen, it seems like, on Sunday mornings. But you're sowing seed as the second voice into these children. And all of our children's workers, our children's ministers in the back, thank you for that.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.